This is the story about Nechunya, the well digger. There was a Yid. His name was Nechunya. And nobody told him to do this, but he did it himself because he realized this is important to do. He said, I'm going to make sure that the Yidden have enough water for Yontif, for everything they need. And I'm going to make sure that everybody has plenty, plenty of water. And he dug wells. He dug in the ground places to catch the rain and to keep the water, that people should have water. Now, this is a big job. He didn't do it by himself. He got workers, strong men. He got the money himself. He collected the money himself to pay the workers, because he has to pay the workers. And the workers won't do it for free. He did everything for free. He didn't charge himself, and nobody was making him do it. He wasn't working for somebody who made him do it. He bought the shovels. He bought the tools, the digging tools. He paid the workers money. And he said, we're going to dig big, big holes to catch the rain or to find the water under the ground and to keep the water under the ground in big underground rooms and wells. And Nechunya dug these wells with his workers all over Yerushalayim. Wherever people were staying, they had water. You just had to walk over to the well, and they had to bring up the delicious, nice, cool water, and they had water to drink, and to cook, and to wash, and to do everything they needed. Plus, there was one gigantic, big well that he dug, that he says, in case all the other wells run out of water, for any reason, there's going to be one gigantic, big, deep, deep well that everybody knows this will always have water and it'll never run out of water. It's going to be so big and deep. And he had his workers dig and dig and dig in the ground till they made a huge, big, gigantic hole. Then he wanted the water to be nice and clean, so the workers covered the hole inside with cement, that it was like a swimming pool. You ever saw a swimming pool? That it's nice and, you know, cemented, that the dirt shouldn't get in the water. Like a gigantic, huge underground swimming pool, but much deeper. Not like a deep end of a swimming pool. Mamish, like a lake, like a little ocean there. Very deep under the ground. And water filled it from the rains. And maybe even water came from under the ground. And then on the top of the hole, there was a cover that it should be safe, because they don't want anybody to fall in, God forbid. Because if you fall in that hole, it's a huge, big drop underground. So they covered it. And only when people took out the water, they uncovered it. Then they put on the cover. And always people had plenty of water. And they were so happy and thankful that Nechunya did this big mitzvah. Remember, this is a mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. It wasn't like he's a worker man who's being paid and he's getting money for this job. He himself paid workers to do this job only because he wanted Yidden to have a nice Yontif in Yerushalayim. Now, Nechunya and his wife. Now, Nechunya and his wife had a little daughter, a sweet little girl, a nice Yiddish Meidele. He loves her so much. And Kenelach, one day, Nechunya's daughter was on her way to her friend's house, and she was walking, and she was walking through the streets of Yerushalayim. She was walking by herself. I mean, Baruch Hashem, it was safe to walk in the streets in Yerushalayim. You didn't have to worry about anything because people kept Torah mitzvahs. And Baruch Hashem, When people keep Torah and mitzvahs, you can walk and you can feel safe. Now, she's all by herself, and she passed by the big, gigantic well. And she noticed that it was uncovered. Somebody had left the cover off. The last person to use it forgot to put the cover on. And the little girl got curious. She said, I never looked down inside of that well. I know my tati dug it, and I know he talked about how deep it is and how big it is. And I heard also other people, my friends, and their tatis and mommies, they talk about the big, big well of water that my tati dug, and it's always full of water. I'm very curious to see, what does it look like, such a deep, big well of water? I want to see it. I'm very curious what it looks like. And she starts walking over there to the well, because the cover was off. And if she climbs up, and if she leans over, she'll be able to look down. Of course, a little voice also says, "Oi, but it's dangerous to go over there and climb up and lean over. Because you have to climb up and you have to lean over on your stomach, you know, and put your head down to look down there. It's dangerous." But then another voice says, "Yeah, but you just take one little peek, and that's all, and you'll look." Do we know what these two voices are, boys? We know that we should never do anything that is dangerous, or that might even be dangerous. But she was very, very curious. And Kinalak, she walked over there, and she starts jumping up to go over the rim to look. But she was a little bit too small, and the wall was a little bit too big, so she had to jump a little bit more. And she had to push herself up to get her stomach to go over and her head to look down. And then she had to jump a few times to get high enough. And this time she jumped a little bit too much. And she leaned over a little bit too much because she wanted to look. And the wall was kind of wide, so she had to lean way over. And Kinalach, it was a mistake, it was an accident, but sometimes a mistake or accident can take 1 second. But that's all it takes. She flipped over and she fell into the well. Kinalach, she fell way, way down, all the way down into that well. Now, from far away, some people were looking out their window that lived in houses far away, and they happened to notice a little girl that was over there, and they went over to their windows. They were concerned that this little girl was jumping over there by the side, and then somebody saw what happened, that she jumped and she flipped over and she fell in. And they started to scream, "Oi, oi, a little girl fell in the well! A little girl fell in the well!" And I think I know who it was. I think it was Nechunya's daughter. What? Nechunya? The well digger? Nechunya is the one that dug that, and his own daughter fell into that hole? Oy, 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 oy. Let's go help her. And they ran as fast as they could. Now, as we learn in the Rambam, the Torah says, you see somebody in trouble, God forbid, what do you have to do? You must help them. The people ran over to help the girl. And they looked down into the well. And they couldn't even see her. They couldn't even find her. Of course, they couldn't jump in themselves. It was dangerous just to jump in themselves. And there was no ladder over there. Just a big room under the ground. There's no ladder going down. There's just straight sides going way, way down. And they start to scream, little girl, do you hear us? Are you okay? And they didn't hear a thing, just a big echo. Little girl. Just the echo. Oy vey, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? All of a sudden somebody said, let's run to the house of Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa. Who remembers Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa? A big tzaddik in Halach that was alive at that time. That we know he's got many, many special stories of big Nisim. He was Malumad ben Nisim. Nisim always happening. I'll wait till it's quiet. And they said, let's go to Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa. He should daven for the little girl. He's a big tzaddik. He's close to Hashem. Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa will daven for the little girl. Or maybe figure out something that we could do. And they ran to the house of Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa. And they go in and they tell him what happened. They tell him that Nechunya's own daughter fell into the big, gigantic, big well that her own Tati dug. And right away, Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa got up and he put his hands up to Hashem and he said, Hashem, could it be that the father does a big mitzvah? Mamish, a big mitzvah for Hashem? And his own daughter is Chas V'Shalom going to have something not good happen from her own Tati's mitzvah? Could it be that's going to happen? No, it can't be. Not that the Tati's mitzvah can Chas V'Shalom cause any harm to his own daughter. And Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa turned to the wall and he starts davening to Hashem to help the girl. And Kenalach, the people watched Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa daven. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa stopped davening. And he turns around to the people. He says, the girl is alive. She's alive in the well. She's fine. She's not even hurt. And then he went on davening. And he davened some more. And then he turned around and he said to the people, the girl is not even scratched. Nothing at all happened to her. Because she fell down, way, way down in the hole. And ordinarily, a person, Chas V'Shalom, the worst thing could happen. Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa says, the girl is not hurt, she's fine, but she's still in the hole. Now, of course, the people, if they could figure out a way to get her out, maybe they would. But now the house is far away and Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa was still davening. Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa davened again to Hashem, and a little while later, a few minutes later, he turns around and he has a big smile on his face and he says, the girl is fine. Not only she's fine, she's out of the well. Of course, the people don't understand exactly what's going on or why. And they decide they're going to run to see what's going on. They're going to run to the well. And they're running towards the well to see what's going on. And on the way to the well, Kinalach, Nechunya's own house was on the road on the way to the well. And as they're almost to the well, because his house was close to that well, all of a sudden they see Nechunya is in front of his house and his wife and the little girl, and they're kissing and hugging the little girl. And they see the little girl right there. Look, there she is. The same little girl that fell into the well. She's home with her mommy and Tati. And they're hugging her and kissing her. Let's go find out what happened. And they ran over, just as she's telling the story to her parents. I don't know if her parents even knew what happened because they weren't there. And the people ran straight to Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa that he should daven for the little girl. And the little girl is telling the mommy and Tati what happened. Who's ready to hear what happened? And she says, mommy and Tati, I was on my way to my friend's house and I was curious to see what the well looks like. And I jumped up a little bit too much and I flipped over. And I fell way, way down into the bottom of the well. I was so afraid. And when I hit the bottom, nothing happened to me. I didn't feel hurt. I thought to myself, how could I fall so far and crash down and I'm not hurt? But I was afraid because it was dark and I was all by myself. And all of a sudden, when I was looking around, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I saw an old man, and the old man looked so friendly and so nice. He looked like such a halakha tzaddik. He had a white beard. He was shining. He looked like his face was glowing, but he looked so kind and so nice, and he was smiling at me, and he came over to me. And next to the tzaddik, he was leading a ram. You know what a ram is? A ram is an animal, like from the sheep family or the goat family, with horns. And this halakha-looking person was leading a ram on a little rope. And the ram was also shining. Not exactly like the tzaddik, but the ram was also like shining. And they both came over to me. And he says, little girl, are you okay? She says, yes. But how do we go out of here? I don't want to be here all by myself. Well, the tzaddik says, you hold on to the ram's horn, and we'll all go out together. Just hold on to the ram's horn, and we'll go walking out. Kinalach, the girl put her hand on the ram's horn, and she went with the man. And she says, Tati, Mami, you know, as soon as that man came, I didn't feel afraid anymore. I felt like everything's going to be okay. And we started walking, and we got to the wall of the well. Now, the wall goes straight up. And I thought to myself, the little girl says, how are we going to get out of here? There's no way out. And the old man with the ram, he started walking straight up the wall. And I was holding on to the ram's horn, and I also was walking straight up the wall. We were walking straight up, just like it was nothing, like you're going on a regular road. But we were going straight up the wall, and we weren't falling down. And the man said, just keep going. Don't be afraid. Pretty soon we'll get to the top, and you'll be back with your mommy and Tati. And sure enough, they reached all the way to the top. They walked straight up the wall, like you walk straight up this wall to the ceiling. And they got up to the top, and the girl climbed out of the well. She was the first one because they said, you go first. And then she wants to bring the old man and the ram also to help them out of the well. It's not so easy to climb out of a well, especially if you've got a big animal. And she looked around and she said, hey, where are they? I don't see them. And she looked down into the well. I mean, she didn't want to flip over again. She was very careful. She says, where's the old man and the ram? I can't see them anymore. They're gone, like they disappeared. But sure enough, she was out of the well. And she wanted to run home to her mommy and Tati. And the little girl ran home and she told her mommy and Tati and all the people what happened. And the people got so excited. Such a big nest. And now they wanted to go to Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa and tell him what happened. And they wanted to ask him, also like, who is that man? And what happened over here? And some people said, hey, you know what? Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, he did the miracle. He did the miracle. He made a miracle. And they ran to the house of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. And Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa was in his house. And the people ran. They're all excited. They said, hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, you know what happened? And they told him what happened. Did you do a miracle? Did you make a miracle? Akenalach, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa is, of course, very humble. He's an anav. And he's not going to say he's got Ruach HaKodesh. and he's not going to say he did a miracle. And really over here, he didn't do a miracle. He told the people, it wasn't me. It wasn't me that saved the girl. But it was the schus of her own father who did kindness for Yidden. He had Abbas Israel, he helped Jews, and he made sure they had water for Yontiv and water in Yerushalayim. It's a big kindness. And you know who is the one, Kinalach, who gives every Yidden koyach to do chesed and kindness? Who was the first one in the world that did tremendous kindness for Hashem, and he made sure that everybody is going to know about Hashem and daven to Hashem and be kind like Hashem? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, Kinalach. The old man with the ram, Rabbi Chanina Mendoza says, this was Avraham Avinu. And the ram was the ram that was by the Akedah. Remember his ram? Remember the V there? And because of the kindness that the girl's father did, Avraham Avinu himself came to rescue the girl. To help the girl out of the well. Because in the schus of the chesed and the kindness, this saved her. Once, a Yid was traveling, and he was going to different houses. He was collecting tzedakah, going from house to house, giving people a chance to give tzedakah. And he came to a certain house, and a young man came to the door. I mean, he wasn't exactly a kid, looked like a young man. He came to the door, and he says, yes, can I help you? And the man says, well, you know, I would like some tzedakah. I would like to collect some money. Okay, I'll get you some money. And the man turns around and goes back into the room, into the house. And by the stove, there was a bed, because the warmest place in the house was by the stove. So sometimes, you know, a person would be in bed, either feeling sick or just sleeping, they would be near the stove, because that was the place that the heat came from. It came from the stove. It was the cold part of the winter. And there was an old person, a very old person, in the bed, lying there next to the stove. And the young man goes by the old person. Move over! Move over! I'm looking for the money. Get up and move over. I have to find something. Please move over now. Don't take so long. Somebody's waiting by the door. And he found the money over there and he brought it to the door. And the Yid who came collecting the money, he says to the young man, oi, how can you speak to your father in such a way? Your old father is sleeping or resting on the bed next to the stove. How come a son talks to a father in such a way? Because, of course, it looked like the young man is the son of the old man that's by the stove. And the young man laughs. He says, you've got it opposite. That is my son in the bed. I'm the father, and I'm speaking to my son. Come on, get up. I'm looking for the money. That's my son sleeping in the bed, resting in the bed. And the Yid looks at the father, who's a young-looking man, and he looks at the son, who looks like a very old man. And he scratches his head. How could that be that you look so young and you're the father and there's your son with a white beard and all wrinkled and he's laying in bed and you're up and around and you look like a young man and you've got brown hair. You don't even have any white hair. How could it be? In fact, he looks like your Zaidi and that's your son? You're joking. The man shakes his head. No. I am a very old man. And that's my son. He's also old, but he's not as old as I am. He says, you want to hear the story? How come I look the way I do? And why my son looks so old? Actually, he's showing how old he is. I should look even older than him. How many boys want to hear the story of this? Okay. I'll tell you, it's a simple story. The young-looking man continues and he says, a long time ago, when the Baal Shem Tov was alive, I was his shamish. I took care of the Baal Shem Tov. One day, the Baal Shem Tov was resting. He was taking a nap. And one of my jobs was to sweep his room with a broom. I took a broom and I went into his room to sweep. And the Baal Shem Tov was resting in his bed, asleep. I was sweeping the floor, and all of a sudden I came next to the Baal Shem Tov's bed. And I wanted to sweep under his bed. I was doing it very quietly. I shouldn't wake him up. And I noticed that his slippers were under his bed. I thought to myself, when I sweep under the bed, should I move the Baal Shem Tov slippers to sweep also there? Or should I leave the slippers where they are and sweep around them? Now what difference does it make? I'll tell you. Everything that a tzaddik does, every small thing, is Torah and it's halik. It's connected to Hashem. Not just the learning and the davening and the mitzvahs that he does, but everything that he does, even a regular thing, even a movement, he moves. This is something halik, because a tzaddik, especially a rebbe, is connected to Hashem every second. So the shamish said, I thought to myself, the Baal Shem Tov put his slippers under the bed. The Baal Shem Tov could have put his slippers over there, but he put it over here. He could have put it somewhere else or a different way, but if the Baal Shem Tov put his slippers over here, it's not just an accident. It's not just something a person does with slippers. The Baal Shem Tov put his slippers right here. It's something the Baal Shem Tov did. Why should I go and move it? So he decided to leave the slippers where they are, and he's going to sweep around the slippers. And that's what he did. And then he finished sweeping in the room. A little while later, the Baal Shem Tov woke up. And the first thing he did, he called to his shamish. He says, did you sweep the room when I was sleeping? It looks like it was swept. The shamish says, yes, I did. He says, did you move my slippers or did you leave it where it is? The shamish said, I did not move them at all. I left them exactly where they were and I swept around them. The Baal Shem Tov smiled a big smile. And he gave him a bracha for Arichus Yomim. You know what's Arichus Yomim? He should live a long life. He says to the man, I give you a bracha for Arichus Yomim, you should live a long life. And that's exactly the bracha that I got. So I am a very, very old man. But from that time on, I hardly even changed the way I looked. Because I have the Baal Shem Tov's bracha to live a long life, to have a Arichus Yomim. So I am actually much older than my son. My son is in the bed. He looks like an old man, but I'm even much older than him. I'm the father. But since I have the bracha of the Baal Shem Tov, this is why I look young and he looks old. And why did he get a bracha, boys? Just because he left the slippers where they were. In other words, he recognized that every movement of a tzaddik is halik, is special.